Before I start to minister, and I'm going to try not to be in front of you too long, make sure I got everything like I'm supposed to have.
Right, you got it.
Got the little red button here.
It's on. Now take the mute off at the top.
I'm thinking that represents the blood, so it's on.
It's on.
Okay. I'm thinking you hear me now. All right. I just want to do something here real quick. It says in the book of Psalms, chapter 34, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times.
Amen.
His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Almighty the Lord with magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. And so I just wanted to ask you to raise your hands for a moment.
Amen.
And just give praise to God.
Amen.
Just thank him right now. Just give him praise. And Lord God, we come to you and we thank you, Lord God, for how you take care of us, how you look over us from day to day. We thank you, Lord God, that there are those this morning that you touched us. We woke up and on our hearts and our minds was you. And we were able to give you thanks this morning. There were limbs that were able to move. There were legs that were strong enough to carry people. There were voices that were loud enough to speak out for themselves. There are eyes that are able to see and show us where we're going. Oh, Lord God, in the name of Jesus right now, we give you thanks for the things that, Lord, sometimes we take for granted. We want to say thank you this morning. We do not want to go through this day without remembering you, without giving thanks, oh Lord God. And Lord God, we are asking for things, for healings. We're asking, Lord God, for all manner of deliverances. But oh Lord, we are not anxious for any. But what we are is by prayers and supplications with thanksgiving, we are presenting it to the Lord God Almighty. And Lord, according to your divine will for every single person, move, O Lord God, upon them with your favor of mercy and grace. In Jesus' name, we believe in you, Lord God, to deliver people, because you're the God that's able to do it. We don't know the how you're going to do it. We don't even proclaim to try to tell you how. We just, Lord, present it to you in Jesus' name. You're not in a box. You can do it however you want. In the name of Jesus. You can walk in a room right now and just touch a person and they'll be made whole. You can just whisper in their ear right now out of a coma and say, wake up.
Yes.
And they'll wake up.
Yes.
In Jesus' holy name.
Yes.
You can touch a brain that seems like it's been, Lord God, shut down and say, fire up. And it's done. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we're just letting you know that we know that we serve the Almighty God, the God that has no limits. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.
Amen, and amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Amen. It is a wonderful thing to be here with you today. And we pray, and we've been praying, amen, that God would just have his way. To tell you just a little bit, I've already told you about my lovely wife and where she is right now. But everybody is dealing with something.
Yes.
Amen. You're not alone. And nobody is dealing with something that is not common to humanity.
Amen.
And nobody is dealing with anything that God can't deliver.
Amen.
Amen. We see different camps. One camp says COVID's not real. Another camp says, yeah, it is. Another camp says, I don't need a vaccine. Another one says, yes, we do. Can I tell you something? Both camps will operate based on God's grace and mercy.
Yes.
Did you know that?
Yes.
It doesn't matter. I don't care what you believe. I just care about what I believe. But in the end,
thank you.
Every single one of us, we're going to be blessed based on God's mercy and God's grace.
That's it.
Amen.
Amen.
And so this morning, that's what I say to all of you. I don't care what you believe, but I know one thing. I know the God that loves you.
Amen.
And there's not a one of you that he doesn't love.
That's it.
Amen. There's not a one of you that he doesn't love. Amen. In our family this past week, we had a dear cousin of mine to pass with the COVID. 55 years old about. And he was in the camp. He didn't take the vaccine. I don't know if that's why he's gone. I just know that he's gone. But the thing that I know about Tim that was such a blessing is that he was saved.
Amen.
Amen.
Do you understand what I'm saying to you?
Yes.
He was saved. I don't care what's going on with you as long as you know the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's it. Come on.
Yes.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. What is the most important thing that you need to know during this time? It's the same thing you needed to know before this time. And that is that Jesus Christ died for you, and that Jesus Christ Amen. Loves you, Amen. And that he is here to yes. save you.
Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. The devil wants to disrupt your life. But Jesus says, no. No. If you will maintain faith, if you will maintain your trust and your confidence in him, he says, no, the devil can't disrupt your life. Yeah. It's when you submit, surrender, you know? And sometimes we do that just by our words. We speak fear. We speak sometimes and say, you know, the things that if the devil does this to me or if this happens to me, then I'm going to quit serving the Lord. Why would you say something like that?
No.
If this happens, then my wife and I will get a divorce. Or if this happens, I won't love my children. No. Stop speaking dumb things. I almost said stupid, but I guess it could be stupid. But don't speak dumb things, for sure. Amen. Because those are the things. The devil is listening to see what is it that that person is so afraid of. What is it that person has a weakness to? Because when he finds out what you have a weakness to, he can drop the other 9 things he's been trying to do to you. And just focus on the one that you told him to focus on. Yeah. And that's what he's looking for. If you'll give him a hint, then he doesn't have to spread himself so thin. He just focuses on what you tell him. All right. John chapter 3. And verse 16 says, for God so loved the world. That's John 3:16. My wife always tells me that I go too fast. That I'll slow down. You know, because y'all don't have a chance to catch up and keep up with me. You don't have a time to find the scripture. But John 3:16 is the one you don't need to catch up on.
Yes.
Almost everybody that I know knows John 3:16.
Amen.
Uh-huh. Amen. And it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now you say, well, why would you need to preach on that? Everybody knows it. I'm going to tell you something. You're going to get something out of it. Yeah, Amen. You're going to get something out of it.
Amen.
You know, Jesus, when he's talking and saying this, he had been talking to a guy named Nicodemus. And Nicodemus was one of those that were part of the leadership of the children of Israel, of the house of Israel at the time. And so he goes to Christ and he's talking to Christ and he wants to know some important things. You know, he says, look, we believe that you are sent from God. Well, you know, that was really honorable of him, and it was very generous of him to say that, because really and truly many of those that were with him didn't believe that.
Right.
So he included everybody. You know, sometimes when you're praying and you're talking to the Lord God and you're asking God, you know, to heal or to forgive, you need to include everybody. Yeah, you need to include everybody. If you include everybody, see, you'll have a greater effect.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah. It's better when 900 people get saved than just one. Now the Lord is glad and the angels are rejoicing with just one.
That's right.
But oh my goodness, if it's 900, look at that.
Yes.
You know, so I think that's even better. So start praying for not just you, but for everybody else.
Amen.
And so he talks to Nicodemus and he explains to Nicodemus that, look, Nicodemus, you got some great ideas, but the problem that you have is you're under the wrong management. And so Nicodemus is trying to figure out here, what do you mean I'm under the wrong management? You know, Nicodemus is saying, I'm teaching, I'm serving, I'm doing things. And so Christ begins to talk to him and tells him, when he tells him he's under the wrong management, what he says to him is, you need to be born again.
Yes, amen.
And so Nicodemus, his question is, what do you mean I need to be born again? I mean, you're not making sense. How is it that I am going, I don't know, Nicodemus could have been 50, 60 years old. But even if he was 2 years old, he was too big to re-enter into his mother's womb and be born again.
Right.
And Nicodemus knew that. And so Nicodemus says to Christ, he says, what you are telling me to do is impossible. He said, it cannot be done. How do you expect me to be born again? And so Christ continues to talk to Nicodemus, and where he ends up is with this scripture in John 3:16. For God so loved. He said, yeah, Nicodemus, you can't do this. There's just no way that you can do this.
Amen.
He says, but because the Father so loved the world, he made a way.
Yes.
Amen.
He made a way.
Amen.
No, you can't re-enter into your mother's womb. But Nicodemus, when Adam sinned, the thing Adam lost was his spiritual relationship with God.
That's right.
Yes.
He says, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to rebirth in you a spirit of life. And that spirit of life that I'm going to put in you is going to be an eternal spirit of life. It is not one that is ever going to die. You won't ever have to worry about that death again. And so he says to him, for God the Father so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and the Son being Christ. So we see the Father giving, and we see the Son accepting. Yeah, he accepted to die on the cross for you and me.
Yeah.
How many of us would accept to die for strangers, maybe?
Yeah.
For people we don't know? I'd die for my daughter, I'd die for my wife. But you, come on. You know what I mean?
I did.
And so this is what he's faced. He said, no, wait a minute. But Jesus didn't say that. He said, yes.
Right.
He said, yes. The Father said, who can I send? He said, I'll go.
Yeah.
Yes. And so here we find that this is what happens. He says, yes, he'll go. And then he asks the question, who is it that he's dying for? He said, I'm dying for whosoever.
Yes.
That's who I'm dying for. I'm dying for whosoever. So you see, when God looks down at humanity, he never sees your ethnicity.
Right.
Did you know that?
Yes.
When he looks down from heaven for you, he never sees whether you are a male or a female or a tall person or a skinny person. You know, the brother back there in the back, he might get saved first because he's so tall. That the grace of God, you know, coming down might hit tall people first. And if there are too many tall people, then the grace of God might get all used up. Because all the tall people would get it. But God's grace is so broad, it's so wide, it's so... You cannot extinguish or overuse the grace of God.
Praise God.
Did you know that?
Amen.
Amen. It cannot get used up.
You can't.
Now you can abuse it.
Right.
Yeah, because if you think that the grace of God gives you the right to be a sinner, if you think that the grace of God gives you a right to do wrong, that's an abusive attitude towards God.
Yes.
Yeah, that's an abusive attitude. So that's why the Bible tells us that we don't abuse the grace of God. No. But when God looks down, All he sees is a soul that needs saving. And after the souls are saved, all he sees is his son. Because once you are saved, everything changes. Your administration changes. When Nicodemus got saved, he was no longer under the old administration. The old administration was the administration that was brought in when Adam sinned. When Adam sinned, humanity came under the administration of a guy named Satan. That's what happened. Every person who decides that they don't want to live under the administration of God, you are saying you are satisfied living under the administration of the devil. And so when God says he loved the world so much that he died for it, he wanted to change the world's administration. He wanted to change those that we listen to, the ones that we obey, the ones that we give our lives for. Your life only belongs to one. Mm. Only to one. God says in the Bible, you know, that thou shalt have no other gods before me. Yeah. Can I tell you what that means? It does not mean that you can have other gods as long as God's in front. It means you absolutely can't have any other gods.
Amen. Amen.
You can take out before me.
Amen.
And it still makes sense. Yeah. Thou shalt have no other gods.
Yes.
Yes.
He told them, thou shalt have no other gods before me, because these people were coming out of a place that was used to having 2,000-3,000 gods.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so he had to let them know, look, forget them 3,000 gods. Mm-hmm. There's only one.
Amen.
There's only one.
Yeah.
And so God is saying to us today, I'm your God. And I want you under my administration. I don't want you serving the guy that who is there to steal and to kill and to destroy you.
Yes.
I'm come that you might have life, and that you might have that life in a more abundant way.
Yes.
The moment you get saved, you are in a new life state.
Thank you, Lord.
You enter into eternal life.
Thank you, Lord.
How does your life become more abundant? Every day that you obey God and you walk with him, your life becomes more and more abundant.
Glory. Hallelujah.
Yes. Glory. He's not talking about the number of cars you possess, the number of houses you possess, the number of children. He's not talking about any of those things. He's talking about the relationship with him and how close you are coming in that relationship,
yes,
in understanding spiritual things.
Thank you.
What does it mean to understand spiritual things? Understand from the standpoint of God. That's what it means. It means to start to see things in the same way that God does. How do I start to see things like God does? I agree with his word. I agree with his word. How do I know I'm agreeing with his word? I obey it.
There it is.
I obey it. And the more you obey the word, the more abundant your life becomes. That's how you increase in abundance with God. Obey. Amen. I don't know how I got out there. All right. So the scripture says God gave. And sometimes I wonder about that. You know, what do you mean that God gave? You know, in Christendom today, as it is in the world, it seems, you know, the politicians, when they want your favor, they give you a check.
Yeah.
You don't believe it?
Amen.
Sure they do. They give you a stipend of extra food or something. But they find something to give you. And they claim they give you freedom.
Yeah.
Can I tell you something? Freedom only comes from God.
Amen.
Can I tell you that? And can you get that in your head?
Yes.
Freedom only comes from God. No man can give you freedom.
Amen.
Paul was in a prison and said he was free.
Yeah.
You hear me? Why? Because he knew the one that he had placed his trust in, and that there was no bondage that was put upon him except that God allowed.
Right.
When you know that everything that comes upon you in this life, it can't come, it can't have effect unless God allows.
Yes.
Then you have to ask yourself, well, why does he allow?
Yeah.
He says, I'm allowing it because all things work together for your good.
Amen.
Why? Because you love me. And because you are called according to my purpose, and because of what you're going through, I am changing your life.
Thank you, God. Hallelujah.
I am changing your life. No, it does not feel good. It never feels good to stump your toe or break a leg. But listen to me. God says, if that's happening in your life, you're going to look at him, you're going to trust him, you're going to walk with him, and because you're doing that, you start to grow in him. When you go through something, and you come out victorious on the other side, and you know it's because you never stopped believing in God, it changes your insides.
Yes, it does.
It changes you inside. It changes you up here in the mind. It changes you through and through. You talk about having your mind renewed, obeying the word, doing the word, and going through difficult times while obeying the word renews the mind. Because you get a new viewpoint on how God works in your life and how much God cares for you, and that God never leaves you, never abandons you, never forsakes you. He is always there with you.
Yes, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
That's what it's all about. How strong in what's happening in your life is God? That's what you have to ask yourself every day. How strong is God in everything that's happening in your life? My Bible says that he is mighty in the midst of it.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, God's not standing outside of the perimeter of your problems looking on. He's in you.
Yes.
And he's helping you to deal with it as you go through. The psalmist says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death,
right.
You're where? With me. Yeah. And that's what God is wanting us to know. There is no time that you are by yourself. No time.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, God.
You say, well, yeah, but I want a human with me. Well, sometimes he might say no.
Yes.
He wants you with him and him with you. Trust him. Yes. And so it says he gave. Well, I wonder about that giving, because sometimes today in the world we live in, we have made giving seem like some kind of trick where we can make God do what we want. Like if you hear a message preached, you know what I mean? And at the end of the message, the guy says, now, to get this, you need to give. Huh?
Yeah.
Now, I don't have a problem giving. Believe me, I don't have a problem giving. Giving is great.
Yes.
But you know, God says have the right attitude when you do it.
Yes.
So if I think that I need to buy something from God, isn't that an act of work?
Yep. Yes.
Yep.
And at the same time, doesn't he tell me that it's not about works?
Yes.
No.
Right.
God says give because he blessed you.
Amen.
That's what he says.
Yes.
And he says, when you do so, if you're not happy about the giving, just leave it in your pocket.
That's right.
Because he says, I really prefer if you're cheerful.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
So I wonder about the giving, because I want to make sure that when I say that God gave, that I am not cheapening what that means.
Yes, hallelujah. Yeah.
I don't want to cheapen what he gave. You know? So I looked up that word gave, and it says it means to give. Okay. That is obvious, right? But then it says it means to let.
Let go.
You see? To let. So in other words, God let his son. You understand me?
Yes.
He let his son. There was a council going on. There was actually some talk being done. A decision had to be made. And the father had to say, okay, I'll let that happen. Because that's what he's saying. He also, the word means to hand over. He handed over his son. The Bible says that the wages of sin are what?
Death.
And who was controlling death? Satan. Can you hear that God handed over his son? I was talking to a guy and he said, "Oh no, that messes with the divinity of Jesus." I said, "Oh no, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. The fact that he died, if that's the case, would mess with his divinity. The fact that he came here as a man, that would mess with his divinity. No. Whatever God decides to do is within his divinity."
Right on.
Yeah.
For him to die, it took a divine act.
Right.
He had to give up eternal life to die.
Right.
He had to put eternal life aside so he could die.
That's good.
Otherwise, he couldn't. Jesus said, "No man can take my life. I have to give it.
That's it.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
I have to give it." So it wasn't cheap. Wasn't cheap at all. And so another word for this gave is to grant. It means to allow, to permit. It means to be delivered up. And the last word I looked at is the word, it means to be provided. There was a need that Nicodemus didn't understand. Nicodemus says, "How can I be born again?" God the Father says, "Well, the only way, Nicodemus, is if somebody dies for you and can live again." That's the only way. Somebody has to pay the price for what humanity is in. They are in a mess that cannot be fixed without the death of someone. And so Jesus said, "Well, I can do it." He said, "But you can't do it." He said, "Because you're God. You can't do it." He said, "Well, what do we got to do then? If I'm God and I can't do it, and you say I can do all things, then what do I have to do?" And the Father says, "Well, you got to become one of them. You got to become one of them." You know what God says to each and every one of us? If you want to get somebody else saved, you got to be willing to be one of them. Don't mean you got to be willing to be a sinner. But it means you got to put yourself in a place where a sinner is, where you can talk to a sinner.
Yes.
If there's a group of people that you got issues with, if you got issues with Mexican people, you better put yourself in a position where you can love Mexican people. Because otherwise you'll never win a Mexican person. Why? Because you don't love them enough to go where they are. Jesus had to say, "Well, I love humanity enough to be one of them." He said, "Well, look, there is no way that I'm dying for some guy with a beard that can't decide whether it's gray or black." And Jesus says, "Well, I'll go for him."
Yes.
I'll go for him.
That's it.
This is what we all have to do. We have to see people and only see what Jesus sees.
Amen. Come on.
Yes.
And that is a soul that needs to be saved.
Amen. Amen.
Or we need to look at Christians and only see a Christian who needs to be loved and who needs to grow in God, who needs to mature in the things of God. You cannot look at a Christian who acts like he doesn't love you and decides you don't love him either.
Right.
I approve.
That's right.
Yeah. You got to look at that Christian who acts like it doesn't matter. Whatever the difference that separates you from somebody else, you got to find the common ground.
Amen.
That you can present Christ to that person.
Yes.
And that common ground, you will find out, is the love of God.
Yes.
It is the love of God. For God so loved
the world.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. The Bible says, "For you are saved by grace." Where does love come in? There is no grace without love.
Yeah, right.
Grace comes out of love.
That's it. Come on.
That's where it comes from. So Christ really is a love gift.
Thanks.
Absolutely.
That's what he really is. He is a love gift that came by grace.
Yes.
is your father.
Yeah, that's who he is. And so he says, so that gave, in the book of Genesis, in chapter 22 and verse 8, Abraham had to take his son Isaac up and sacrifice him. And so just before Abraham is to put the blade into his son, God said, the angel says, and really I believe it was Christ, says to him, stop.
Yeah.
Abraham, stop. He stopped. He didn't really have to scream at Abraham. Because Abraham, see, was actually waiting to see, when is God going to step in?
Right.
Can I tell you something, people of God? You ought to be in every situation that you are in, asking yourself every moment, when is God going to step in?
Amen.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, that's what you ought to be doing. Every moment you ought to be asking yourself, Father, when are you going to step in? Because you've already said you never leave me, you never forsake me.
That's right.
You said cast all your cares upon me for I care for you.
Yes.
So, yeah, Lord, it's been a year.
Mm-hmm.
Or, yeah, Lord, it's been 2 years.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, Lord. But, I've got this joyful expectation down in my soul.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
That is saying, Lord, when are you going to step in?
Yes.
Yeah. And so Abraham, he didn't yell because Abraham was actually waiting for God to step in. And so God steps in and God says to, the boy says to his father, who are you going to sacrifice?
Where's the sacrifice?
Who are you going to sacrifice? Where is it? What did Abraham tell him?
Lord, provide.
Do you know what Abraham didn't tell him? You? Did you know that? And I'm not going to get too close to people because I don't, you know, I mean, sometimes they said, you know, preachers, the best time to get a shower is when preachers are preaching. But anyway, you just need soap and a towel. We supply the holy water.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Abraham did not say, you.
Right.
You know what his answer was? God will provide.
Yes.
God will provide.
Thank you, God.
And so that's what God did. When the Bible says God gave, it's saying God provided for you and me salvation.
Amen.
That's what he did. And you said, well, Brother Eddie, you haven't said anything we don't know. I don't know. Maybe you need to be reminded. You know? Paul said, it's not grievous to me to tell you the same thing twice.
Yes.
So there it is. All right. So in 1 John 3:18, the Word of God says, my little children, 1 John 3:18. And the sister over here, still thinks she didn't go on vacation today. Because see, she's got it. You know? So he says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So what is he saying there? First off, he says, my little children. You know what that means? It means to you and to me that God has accepted us and has accepted the responsibility to teach us, to nurture us, to raise us up, to help us. That's what that means. He calls you my little children. You know how you they say, well, I'm pregnant. And the guy said, ain't mine. All right, okay. But God doesn't say, it ain't mine.
Right.
No.
Yeah. You know, even when we were out there in sin and not loving him, not caring about him, he didn't say, they're not mine. He just said, they're my creatures.
Yeah.
But once you get saved, you become a son or a daughter.
Amen.
That's the difference.
Hallelujah.
That's the difference.
Amen.
That's why the scripture says that if you are in Jesus Christ, you are a new creature. Because the old creature doesn't belong to him, but it's of him because he made it. But he's trying to buy it back. And so when he paid the cost, when he gave the sacrifice, Now he's waiting on that creature to say, I accept it.
Hallelujah.
And I want to be a son. Or I want to be a daughter. And so now they come and they accept. And so now he can say to you, my little children. And so he says, he has accepted the personal obligation to take care of you, to father you, to come alongside of you and do for you. You say, well, that's the Holy Ghost. Well, can you separate the Father from the Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost from the Father and the Father from the Son and the Son from the Holy Ghost? Can you? I don't think so. See, Jesus, the Bible says, he comes along and he's referred to as the Word. But you know that the Word means nothing without the Holy Ghost? Because it's the Holy Ghost that gave the writing of the Word, and he's the one that explains the Word and teaches the Word into you and me.
That's right.
Amen.
So when God says, for God gave, that means that God gave his Son. He gave him up. He sent him. But then the Son had to say, okay, I'm going, and I'm going to be one of them. Huh? You know how we say to one another, y'all. One of y'all. I don't like them. Well, God said, I'm going to be one of them. I'm going to be one of y'all. And so then the Holy Ghost says, well, if y'all going to be given and you're going to be one of them, I'm going to have to live with them.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to live with them. Yeah. I'm going to have to love them. Because all through the Bible, it's the Holy Ghost that is actually referred to as the love. Yeah. He's the love. So when you read John 3:16, it represents the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. Because they all operate together. All right, anyway, you said, well, I haven't learned nothing yet. Well, just hang in there. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up or hedge in a child. And see, I'm telling you. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he, and I like to throw in she, is old, he or she will not depart from it. What does that mean?
Go away from it.
In any language, it means to train up or hedge in a little one in the way that it should go. And when his or her time of responsibility to stay in the way comes, they will do so.
Thank you, Lord.
I'll say it to you again.
Thank you, Lord.
It means to train up or hedge in a little one in the way. Well, Jesus is the what? The way.
The way.
Because he said so.
Yep.
And so he says, train him up in the way that it should go, talking about the child. And when his or her time of responsibility, when they are responsible themselves,
right,
to stay in the way comes, they'll do so. That's what it means. That's what it means. All right. I know. You haven't learned anything yet. How not to love. God tells us how not to love. And when he said that over there in First John 3:18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. What he's saying there is word meaning logos. Well, you say, well, Jesus is the logos. Yeah, he is. But word is also just word. Mm-hmm. Logos could mean just word. Brother Eddie said, hello, I logosed you. Yeah. And so what he's saying is, make sure that when you're talking about loving somebody, that you're not just using words.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Let there be meat to your words.
Amen.
Let there be reality and life to your words. Sometimes we say we love and it has just become a thing. And so we see Raisin Brands or Cocoa Puffs on the television and we say, I love those. So really what you have there is sugar to your words, but that's about it. And as we all know, sugar gives a quick high, but it goes away. So when we say we love, you know what I mean? If we're under the wrong administration, love doesn't have any meaning. If we're under the wrong administration, love is looking for, what am I going to get back? When God so loved the world, he didn't say, let's see, are they worth our love?
Good thing he didn't.
That's right. Because if he had looked to see if we were worth it, he'd have said, no, forget it, we'll make another one.
Let's try again.
That's right, let's try again. So that's what it means when he said, don't love in just word. Don't love in just tongue. Tongue comes from a Greek word meaning glosso, and you know, that means of uncertainty. It's just kind of a flattery kind of word. Doesn't mean I really love you, but I'm hoping that the effect that it has on you makes you favor me. So I'm saying a word that really makes everything kind of glossy and bright for you, but it's a trick.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
It's a trick. When the politician tells you he loves you, it's a trick.
Got that right.
Yeah.
You hear me? Mm-hmm. It's a trick.
You're right.
They don't mean that. Because the next day, they try and take your faith.
That's right. They're trying to do it. They're not
going to
do it.
You understand me?
Yes, sir.
When a group of people try to take your faith and try to tell you that you can't say God and you can't worship God and you can't tell the truth about God and you can't tell God loves.
That's not good.
When a group of people tell you, you can't say that's wrong. God said there's going to come a day when wrong is said to be right. And right is wrong.
Already seeing it.
Where do you live today? Because in the world I'm living in the age, really, that I'm living in, that's how it is.
Amen.
So as children of God, wake up. Wake up! People need to see the real God.
Yes.
They need to see the real God. They need to see the real Jesus. And the only way they're going to do that is if we're real. So he says, but this is how to love. You know, John 13:34, Jesus said something to his disciples. He says, a new commandment I give you. But then he said, really, it's not a new commandment. It's an old one. And in Leviticus, there was a commandment that what? Love thy brethren as thyself. But Jesus said, this is the part that's new. Love your brother as I have loved you. That's what made it new. We have to learn to love like Jesus loved.
Amen.
Yes.
Not like the old administration. The old administration loves based on what they're going to get out of you. Jesus loves based on what he's going to put in you.
Amen.
Did you hear me?
Praise the Lord.
He loves based on what he's going to put in you. He said, look, I'm not going to leave you by yourself. I promise you I'm going to send another, and he's going to be just like me. And when the spirit of comfort has come to you, yeah, he's going to teach you. He's going to lead you. He's going to guide you. The Father sent the Son. The Son came. But if we're going to stay, we need the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, if we're going to stay, you need the Holy Ghost. He says, but this is how you love. You love indeed.
Yes.
Indeed means to do it.
Right.
It means to work by implication to act it. It means to just do it. Who took that slogan? Nike.
Nike.
Nike. Just do it. But that's where it comes from. That's where it comes from. And it says love in truth. Truth means, I looked that up in the Strong's. Truth means true, T-R-U-E, times truly, truth. Verity. Verity means it's assuredly. It's definitely. That's what God says, love that way. He says, in other words, we're supposed to love sincerely and in helpful practice.
Amen.
Sincerely and in helpful practice. First John 3:23, and I need this quickly. And this is his command. Whose command? God's command. This is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Verse 24, and he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him, and hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. In other words, what that means, if you looked in Leviticus, Exodus. If you looked at Exodus chapter 30 and verse 32, it was giving there where God had told Moses to make this really, really fragranted oil. This oil smells so good that when one of the priests would walk into a room, that smell would just fill the room. Now think about this. Do you know that that's what a whole Israelite camp smelled like? Mm-hmm. Because the whole temple had been washed in that oil. Mm-hmm. In other words, the temple was like that because the temple was what? It was the habitation of God. You and I, the Bible says, don't you know that you are the habitation of God?
Glory.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory. How should we smell? We're supposed to change the fragrancy of the United States.
That's it.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yes.
I don't expect the politicians to do it. The Democrats aren't going to do it.
Right.
And I'm going to hurt somebody's feelings now because the Republicans ain't going to do it.
Be a party of one, the one in Christ Jesus.
That's the only party that'll do it.
Yeah.
That's the only party that's going to do it.
That's it. You're right.
God says to the believer, you need to wake up. He says, because your citizenship is not here.
Amen.
You brag more about being an American than you do about being a Christian.
Yeah.
Yeah. You will fight a person more about being an American than you will about being a Christian. People say something about America, you're ready to pick up arms. They talk about Jesus Christ all day long and you go on about your business.
Gone to meddling now, brother.
You know what I mean? All right. So, here we go. We have to understand that a comprehensive revelation of the mind of God by the Spirit to John, the beloved disciple, is that love to God and a Christian love to men are not two distinct things.
Right.
I'll say that to you. In this again, because it's important.
Yeah.
A comprehensive revelation. See, revelation. Christians live by revelation, yeah, not by proclamation of the government.
Yes.
I need to get off the government, huh? There are no laws that are going to make us love each other.
Yeah. Right.
Only God's going to do that.
Amen.
And he's telling you how he does it, through the Holy Spirit. That's how it works. So if you're claiming to be a Holy Ghost filled person, you ought to be enjoying this.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. If you're not, you ought to be ready to put your shoes on and exit. Mm-hmm. But okay, a comprehensive revelation of the mind. In other words, when you begin to understand the mind of God, by the Spirit, by the Holy Ghost, because that's the only way you're going to understand it. Bible says these things are not what? Understood by natural men. But by who?
By His Spirit.
By His Spirit. So when you begin to understand this by the Spirit, as God spoke it to John, and remember, John was the beloved disciple.
Yes.
It would be that fitting that he talked about love.
Yes.
He says, love to God. That's going up and down. And Christian love to men.
Right.
See, that's how the cross comes in.
Right.
You see? Cross goes up and down.
Yes.
God coming to us. Us sending back the same love that we received from Him.
Amen.
But then He says, but you got to spread it this way.
Yeah.
They are distinctively the same thing. They're not different. They are radically, according to the Bible, the same. God is the first cause of all things and the very fountain and source of all good. You see, you still haven't told us nothing. I know. Mankind derived from God. Having something of His image. Whose image? God's image.
Amen.
Yes.
And therefore, we are objects of His mercy.
Wow. Thank you.
Because we look something like Him somehow, even when we are out there in sin, something about man reminds God of Himself.
Yes.
Mm. And because it does, He gives all mercy to man. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Lord.
All right. So the first and main object of divine love is God. The Father loves the Son, and the Son loves the Father. If you don't believe it, read John 14 and 15, and Jesus constantly tells you in there, I love the Father, I'm in the Father, the Father's in me, and the Father loves me. And then He says, and you know what my prayer is? That you might be in us and we in you.
Yeah.
And so then He says, human beings are loved either as the children of God or as His creatures. Did you hear me?
Yes.
Human beings are loved either as the children of God or as His creatures. The creature, He wants to make a son or a daughter.
Right.
The creature first is the one fallen since Adam. The creature forgiven by God and accepting God's mercy and grace becomes the son.
Amen.
Or the daughter.
Amen.
You say you've said that now 4 or 5 times. I know. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born of the Spirit. If the Spirit is in you and the Father and the Son are come to be in you, then love is in you. Because the Bible says God is love. And the Bible also says, well, you say, well, God is love. Well, let me tell you, I don't want you to run out of here saying what the world needs now is love. Because when you go out there with that single thought, you now have tried to define God down to love. And therefore, you get man's idea of love and you miss the whole point.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
So when the Bible says that God is love, then you have to understand that the Bible also says that God is Spirit. And so what lives in you? The Spirit of God. And if the Spirit of God lives in you, listen to me, if the Holy Ghost lives in you, then the Father lives in you, and the Son lives in you, and love is full in you.
Amen.
Amen.
That's what happens to us. Therefore, it is impossible for a Christian to not have love.
That's it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it is possible for a Christian not to use his love. Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Right.
That's true.
What God is encouraging us to do, use the love that is within you.
Mm-hmm.
So that people might see God in the way that he must be seen, so that people will love him. And if people start to love him because he first loved them, people get saved.
Amen.
Yes.
Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you love us. We thank
Glory,
you, Lord
hallelujah.
God, in the name of Jesus.
Glory,
and we declare that we will live according to your will and practice that love that you say
thank
is
you,
already
Jesus.
In us. In
yes.
Jesus' name,
yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Yes.
Glory, yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
First John chapter 4, verse 16, it says, God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him.
That's what it says. And that was one of the scriptures, you know, I was going to use it, but I said, I've been up here too long.
So I shouldn't have said it, did
you? No, you got the right.
Thank you, Brother Eddie.
Yes, amen. You got the right.
Thank you, brother.
Amen.
Love you.
Love you too, brother.
Love you. Let's stand together, folks. There's some good words.
Yes.
This morning.
Good meat.
There's no limit to that love, is there?
No, sir.
Sometimes we get so discouraged, we think there's a limit and I passed it.
Yeah.
But there's no limit to his love.
Praise God.
Wonderful words. Father, I just thank you for this witness today.
Thank you.
I thank you for your word that is so full of truth. And the plans that you have for us that are the best that can happen. We live in a fallen world and it rains on the just and the unjust alike. Lord, we have hope and we have love.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
And we have each other.
Thank you, God.
We have you, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
That put it all together.
Yes.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Yes. You said, let this mind be in you. Christ's mind in us. And Lord, it's hard to think that we'd leave the glory of heaven and come down here and live in 100 degree heat and in multiple inches of rain and mosquitoes and red lights and broken cars and all those things.
Yes.
Yes.
Even death of loved ones. But you're with us no matter where we are, what we do, and what we say.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
What we think,
thank you, Lord.
You're still there.
Thank
no matter
you,
what
Lord.
We think.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, continue to fill us with your spirit and fill us with your love for others and for you, Lord.
God, let it just flow.
And bless Brother Eddie
and
daughter Helen here with them today. And just bless them for being with us. Protect his wife while she's there in Florida and traveling home. And
yes, God. Reunite them, Lord.
Reward them for their service.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, give us a great day as we think about these words that were spoken to us today. Give us a great day, rejoicing in all that you've done for us. And I say this prayer in Jesus' most holy, wonderful name. Amen, amen.
Amen.
God bless you. I love you.
You may not have taught us anything new, but you put it together.
Well, praise God.